Hello, Terry Audla.
Hello.
So Canada assumes Arctic Council chairmanship from Sweden next week. I wanted first just to get a sense from you. What is this going to mean for Inuit living in the Canadian Arctic?
Well, it'll mean that that there will be more awareness, and that's all we can really ask for when it comes to the Arctic in Canada, where the Inuit live, that people understand and don't forget about the fact that people do live up there and make a living off the land and sea up there.
And Canada has outlined its priorities, you know, for the two-year chairmanship, and it's sort of homed in on three main points up until now: development of the North by Northerners, safe Arctic shipping, and sustainable communities. You at ITK, are you optimistic about how this is all going to sort of play out on the ground once things get up and running?
Well, yes, I am. I mean, the optimism stems from just based on the fact that Inuit are now on the radar of the rest of the world, and that they would start realizing that Inuit do have control of their resources, non-renewable and renewable, and that that they have to be involved in the decision-making process when it comes to the development of their area, be it, again, either renewable or non-renewable resources.
And, you know, another issue is the number of countries that have applied for permanent observer status. Do you think if these applications are approved, is it going to dilute Indigenous voices on the council? Or do you think that, you know, the more applicants that are approved, then there's a greater sort of forum for Indigenous voices to make their perspectives and their needs heard?
Yeah, it's somewhat of a catch-22 where you have countries and like the European Union or China having applied for the observer status. They need to understand that in order to be accepted, that they have to take into account the Inuit in Canada, and to be much more aware of the decisions that they make in their area could certainly have a real effect on the Inuit. The EU seal ban, as an example. What we're hoping and expecting for any participants is to make decisions that are based on actual fact and intelligence. And if you show otherwise, then it would be that much more difficult to be taken seriously with respect to the application or with respect to how the decision was brought about. So it's one thing to not include them, and it's another to include them to ensure that they now become more aware of what decisions that they make will have effect on the Inuit, if it's be it the EU seal ban or anything that's related to the north, the shipping lanes or what have you.
What's your sense? Do you have a sense of which one you think is better in the short term?
Well, it's a difficult decision. I mean, definitely based on the EU and their sealing ban, the Inuit are leaning more towards not having them included in the as observers, just based on the fact that the decision that they made was based on no scientific information, and it was not a very intelligent decision. It was all based on public morality, and people need to understand that when it comes to the Inuit livelihood, that they need to look into their own backyard to address any morality issues that they may have, or if they have in mind that they want to save the Arctic, well, include the Inuit in that decision-making process, then you should be able to make a more intelligent decision, in my opinion.
And there's been a petition going around saying that if the EU doesn't repeal the seal ban, then their application should be denied. I saw it was on the ITK website as well. So is that something that's become important to the organization?
Our board, which is comprised of the leadership in the north, the leader of the Inuvialuit, leader of Nunavut, the Nunavik in northern Quebec, and Nunatsiavut in Labrador, all agreed that if the EU is going to be making decisions like that, then we don't necessarily want them participants as observers to the Arctic Council, just based on the fact that they're not making intelligent decisions. The world needs to understand and get their heads out of the sand that when they say sealing is cruel or that the polar bear trade is cruel, well, I mean, so is industrialized agriculture. And in my opinion, that does a lot more damage to the environment. And globally, it's having an effect. What Inuit do, they do it in a very responsible manner. And they do it in such a way that it's towards a sustainability and the continuance of that harvest of either the polar bear or the seal. Anything that's available to them. The traditional diet of Inuit is comprised of really two-thirds of the traditional form, whereas the rest of the one-third is all flown-in food from the south, which is either frozen meat or anything based on the fact that any of the northern communities are not connected by highways. Everything has to be shipped in or flown in, and people need to understand that. And the effect that we have on our land and sea is minimal compared to what the rest of the world is doing to the global climate.
Terry Audla, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.